This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking.
It's Thursday, the 17th of April. I'm Stuart Lohman. In our top story, the Democratic Alliance has laid charges of corruption against Human Settlements Minister Thembi Simelane for allegedly stealing more than 700,000 rand by fraudulently billing Eskom when she worked for Vitrovian. DA MP and former prosecutor Glynis Breytenbach told BizNews journalist Chris Stain why she believes President Cyril Ramaphosa's continued protection of Simelane raises serious questions and why South Africans deserve answers.
We went to the Cape Town Central Police Station and laid charges of corruption against Minister Thembi Simelane. You know, the report on the 31st of March in News 24, the 700,000 rand the alleged link to corrupt activities with regards to Eskom and Vitrovian, and the signature of the minister on the invoice of Vitrovian is just one too much. You know, already the VBS thing is deeply concerning. It's not getting sufficient attention or traction. The investigation into it is very slow and unsatisfactory, the pace of it. As a sort of a consolation prize, after sitting on it for 4 months, the president moves her from justice, which he clearly couldn't be, to Human Settlements, which has a much bigger budget. And that's supposed to make everything okay. You know, South Africans are supposed to be satisfied with that kind of an arrangement, with this type of person representing them, not only in parliament, but in cabinet. Clearly they aren't, and we can and should do better. There's 68 million South Africans. Is this the best we can do? I don't think so. So, you know, with this story of News 24 breaking with the Vitrovian Eskom issue it's just a bridge too far. And so we laid criminal charges this morning for corruption. I assume the docket will be sent to Middelburg for investigation there, or Mpumalanga, And then we'll have to just try and keep tabs on it and keep pushing. And again, the minister owes an explanation both to, I suppose, the president. I'm not sure that, you know, she says she informed him about the VBS thing, whether she did or not. I can't say because the president refuses to make that report public, won't give it to us. He's refused that the PI application was declined and the appeal was declined, so we'll have to see what we're going to do with that, you know, whether we're going to litigate or not. And now this, you know, so she owes the president an explanation. She owes South Africans an explanation. And honestly, you know, if she should really just do the right thing and step aside. It's not a healthy situation for cabinet ministers to be embroiled in this kind of controversy. If she's not guilty, then, you know, she'll make a comeback and her integrity will be intact. But to hang on to your job, you know, under these circumstances, at all costs, is undignified, really.
Why do you think President Cyril Ramaphosa is sitting on that report?
Well, clearly there can only be one reason. If you have nothing to hide, then, you know, you say, please go right ahead and have a look at what, there's nothing to see here. If there's something to see, then you try and hide it. So I assume there's something in there that is controversial, and he doesn't want, us to know, but more importantly, he doesn't want South Africans to know. So he stumbles through life under the misapprehension that he, you know, he's not accountable to South Africans for what he does, forgetting who put him there in the first place, South Africans.
For the first time, the DA has edged ahead of the ANC in the Institute of Race Relations National Opinion Poll. Political analyst John Matteson, the IRR's Herman Pretorius, and political scientist Franz Crenier unpack what's driving the DA's breakthrough, why black voter support is surging, and what it means for the ANC's grip on power.
The latest opinion poll shows that the DA's anti-VAT campaign was a strategic masterstroke, leaving the ANC only a few more mistakes away from disaster unless it changes the way it does business. The ANC's decline mirrors the collapse of South Africa's other two popular governing parties, the United Party, defeated in 1948, and the Apartheid National Party, which governed for 46 years before being defeated by the ANC in 1994. By the time they left office, they had proved themselves unsuited to change times. The ANC faces the identical hurdle. Can it adapt from the anti-apartheid party, appealing for votes around race, historic loyalty, and identity, to become an efficient pro-growth party? This week's bombshell IRR opinion poll put the DA a shade ahead of the ANC for the first time in history by the tiny margin of 0.6%, with 30.3% to the ANC's 29.7%. Tellingly, the DA's rise came because black DA support among registered voters increased from 5% to 18%, a 260% increase on previous polls.
The Institute polling has been showing this fundamental, instinctive, moderate, non-racial South Africa to be out there the whole time. And it's been, I think, for the DA particularly, this breakthrough amongst black support has been, they've been chasing it for 20 years. And they've tried various attempts at breaking through. I mean, under the leadership of Helen Zille, there was this settling into non-racialism that the PFP and the DP had, but a sort of a multiracialism that we are trying to do capable racism, if I could, you know, coin a phrase. It wasn't about not seeing the color of the people that we're dealing with and just treating them as individuals. It was about playing the race card, but playing it sort of constructively. And that led to the leadership of Musi Maimane that was controversially described by one of his predecessors as an experiment. But I think this has been a simmering assumption for the DA that if they want to break through and grow their support from black voters, they needed to, quote unquote, do black politics or, quote unquote, have black policies. And I think this VAT issue, the crystallization that that brought to the debate is so powerful because, the budget, VAT, that is something that absolutely does not discriminate on race. And it was an issue on which you couldn't conceivably position whites on that side, blacks on that side, coloreds over there, and Asian South Africans there. It was just an instinctively, inherently, unquestionably race-neutral issue of aspiration of socioeconomic ability.
This is what you're going to expect from polling for the next 3 years. Inside the ANC camp, let's say the 40% that they got in the election last year, about a quarter of that, so a quarter of 40%, 10% of the electorate, are voters that we've seen a crack between them and the rest of the ANC for quite some time. And that crack was, to simplify it a bit, the voters beneath the crack, the 10% of the electorate, the quarter of the ANC voters, were answering a lot of questions as an opposition voter might, but they were staying in the ANC. Why was that? Number one, they were afraid that if the ANC lost its majority, there would be complete chaos and anarchy. So they're unhappy with the ANC, but they say we're going to vote for it because otherwise the place can fall apart. After the GNUs formed, they realized that that's not happening. So that reason for keeping them in the ANC goes. The second thing they'd felt by a margin of 7-3, so 70%, was if the DA was given a shot at governing the country, it would try and bring back apartheid to some variation of it. A function of just how toxic a lot of our mainstream media has been in inculcating that idea. But they looked at the DA in government and they saw, no, this isn't. Doesn't look like they're trying to bring back apartheid. So that reason fell away. Because those reasons have fallen away, two of the key things that were keeping these very unhappy voters in the ANC have been significantly diluted.
In the world of business banking, projections, numbers, and your bottom line can often triumph over relationships. At Investec, we value both. That's why we understand that running a successful business takes endurance, drive, and partners who are willing to walk the journey with you. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking. out of the ordinary.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana sees no alternative to the 0.5% VAT increase set to take effect on the 1st of May. Neil de Beer certainly disagrees. On this week's Sunday show, the UIM president blasted the budget circus going on in Parliament and warned that ordinary South Africans will be paying the price for political games.
You take into consideration that out of the 400 parliamentary votes, 12 people in that parliament was the vote that swung it, that the financial framework can be passed. Because that day, the people that voted for it were jumping up in that tent, again, that tent, performing in their circus as if they won a massive victory. The parties that voted against, like your DA and Freedom Front and MK and EFF, lost that vote by 12. The Action SA, Mushi Mayamani, the twinkling of the new entries of small parties, joined the circus of the ANC and passed the financial framework. Now, Chris, I'm telling you, have you ever seen a cat on a hot plate? Or a dog slipping on butter? I saw now these political parties running their moor off to get off an ice-laden, self-created platform where it's melting, because now we are hearing that the 1st of May, nogal Workers' Day, VAT 0.5, it's a conclusion, it's a done deal, Chris. Many of us have already received WhatsApps and SMSs from our banks saying that we must prepare 1 May 0.5% of the VAT will be increased. Hulle het gelieg. Simple. They are talking utter rubbish now that they are finding out that the ANC is not going to commit to what several parties said they would. Now, Chris, sorry, you are surprised? You are surprised that the ANC is not going to keep to their word? Watter kukulala totoland is jy? This is the ANC. So, we've had Herman, we've had Michael, we've had Musi, we've had everybody. Now get up and say, nay, nay, we only passed the fiscal framework which allowed them 30 days to come back and replace that. Luister gou, julle is moer toe, die koel is deur die kerk, die deurie lê op die water, the milk has spilt on the floor, it's now called mud. Julle is te laat, boys. It is over, and now we count the days. Chris, if 1 May comes, and ka-ching, you are going to pay 0.5% more on VAT, this country must then come up and say, Lichbeck, liar. And then they need to see how will they get exposed. Like taking a massive kraken, putting up in a Christmas cake and seeing the flint go down. I'm waiting for the kabang and so's this country. I am telling you, Chris, they made a mistake. They are burdening the poor and they are going to pay that price on the 1st of May. If it doesn't happen, bread and milk cheaper.
Closing off this week's briefing, an inspiring story from Musenberg Beach, where 9-time surfing champ Roxy Davis is changing lives through the healing power of the ocean. Davis shares how her foundation is bringing surf therapy to kids with disabilities, including quadruple amputee Raimondo Lessing, who went from first wave to national champion in just 18 months.
Well, I started surfing when I was about 12 years old, and surfing has always been my safe space. It's the place I go to for peace and solace, and it's been my therapy. And I started a surf school about 25 years ago. And through doing that, I wasn't obviously aware of persons with disabilities not accessing the surfing environment. I had a friend, Ant Smythe. He came back from the World Championships to South Africa. And in 2016, we realized that adaptive surfing or surf therapy was something that we needed to implement in South Africa. So we started doing that and slowly, surely started creating surf therapy programs. And in my business capacity, we started structuring surf therapy through Surf Emporium, which was the business that I ran. And then in 2019, we formalized the Roxy Davis Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that purely delivers surf therapy for free for persons with disabilities in South Africa.
Do you have a specific case study or person that you can describe for us?
Yes. We have a young chap. He is a quadruple amputee. He started surfing with us when he was 14 years old. And the first time I had interviewed him, he had said he had never touched the water, never been surfing before. And after a six-week surf therapy program, he had said to me he wants to train for the big waves because in the Paralympics, that's where the big waves are. And I said to him, let's go for it. And 18 months after he had started surfing, he had won the South African title. So he was the South African national champion. He went on to go to the World Parasurfing Championships to represent South Africa. On his 16th birthday, he flew the flag for South Africa. And in 2022, we placed fifth in the world out of 28 countries competing. He placed 17th in his category. And he is really just a remarkable story. He went on to win, he actually won the South African title last year. So he's the defending champion again. And he just won yesterday his third South African national title. So when he was 3 months old, he was on death's door with meningococcal disease. And he nearly didn't make it. So from the journey of that young little boy to, you know, being a national champion is a story that I think, something that's significant for all of us.
Can you share his name?
Yes, it's Raimondo Lessing. You will see him in the media, and he has the most beautiful surfing style. He surfs in what we call the prone two division, and he's got a smile when he's stoked. He's got a smile from ear to ear.
And that's it for today's briefing. Thank you for watching. Until next time, cheerio.
This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to private banking service now for your business.